Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. In the final stretch of the American presidential campaign, voters are presented with the proposition of who they most fear. Virtue signaling and vacuous moralizing outshine policy discussions. We are to believe Hitler is on the ballot. Crosstalking the presidential election, I'm joined by my guest, Michael Maloof in Reston. He is a former Pentagon senior security policy analyst. In Nashville, we have Steve Gill. He is an attorney and conservative TV and radio political analyst. And in Miami, we have Angie Wong. She is a Miami Executive District Committee woman. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Michael, let me go to you. I'm titling this program Fear Election, because if you're just a casual observer of this election, that doesn't include anyone on this program right now, but if you're just a casual viewer, you might get the impression that Adolf Hitler is on the ballot somewhere in the United States. Of course, I'm talking about the poisonous media coverage that we've seen in this election. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing today is politicking that is very, very polarizing, and that Trump represents a populism that the globalists absolutely abhor, and this is really interfering in their overall agenda, which I find undefined. I find it, but I also find it very destructive of our country and its people, and makes our own citizens last, not first. And this is what Trump is trying to reverse, and the wokies are just going apoplectic about it. You see, it's one thing to recognize and want to respect minority rights, but what's happened is through wokeism and this neoliberalism that has that we're encountering today, it has basically given the minority rights the lead to the destruction of the majority rights, of traditions, family values. And this is what's at stake. There's something more than just who's up for election. It has to do with our entire value system as a country, our belief in the U.S. Constitution and what it all stands for. And we need to get back to our basic values. And the wokies have just absolutely tried to destroy that, to the point of even trying to destroy our own history. Oh. And that's unacceptable.
Well, we'll get to that last point later here. You know, Steve, again, if you're just a casual observer of this election, it's Trump against the establishment. It's Trump against the media. Because what is this Kamala Harris? I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I'm a political junkie like the rest of you. But who is this person? Okay? But I do know who flacks for her. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, when you look at her and her supporters, they can't say anything about what her policies will be, what she will do to deal with the major issues affecting Americans, food prices, gas prices, the open border that is creating crime in our cities. Nothing that is important to us is what she's talking about. She and her media acolytes are all screaming about Trump, Trump, Trump. The derangement that we've joked about, Trump derangement syndrome, is real, and we're seeing it created in mass hysteria, particularly among the media, the meltdown that they're engaged in before the election results are even in. You know, when Trump beat Hillary Clinton, they melted down election night when their candidate, who they thought was going to easily win, lost. They're doing it before we're even to election night. Yep. And the steal is real, and they're covering that up. And as you mentioned, the garbage, in addition to the Nazi comments, Joe Biden calls half of America garbage. And the media is trying to defend it, saying he stuttered, he overlooked an apostrophe. It is ridiculous. We saw it. We heard it, people.
Okay, well, then we had 4 years of that. Okay, then that explains it. Well, Angie, Steve already brought up the point I was going to ask you. I mean, we had deplorables in 2016, and now we have garbage in 2024. I mean, where is the learning curve here? I mean, they're not even inventive anymore. It used to be the left had some kind of ingenuity. Now, I just have to question their IQ. I mean, haven't you tried this before? Didn't they try this before, and didn't it fail? They're trying it again. Why do they think it's going to work, Angie?
Yeah, I never thought in the last week of the election I'd be defending Trump from being called Hitler and half the country from being called garbage. Look, I think right now the learning curve here really is that Republicans are playing it better. I am a proud Asian American deplorable garbage lady. We're all wearing garbage bags for Halloween this year, and we're wearing garbage vests to go to vote at the polls. I was at the polls early this morning. I saw two men wearing garbage vests to go and vote for, I guess, Donald Trump, right? So they completely lost the plot. If this is Kamala Harris's closing statement and she resorts to things like Hitler and garbage, that's going to get recorded in the history books. This is going to be a laughable election at the end of the day. This is all they've got is name calling. Where did we get this from? Oh, elementary school here in the U.S. That's the level they're playing on. Their campaign is going down the tubes.
You know, I wasn't going to ask this, Michael, but since it's already indirectly been brought up on this program, they don't have a sense of humor anymore. They just can't laugh. I mean, if Republicans, and I'm not a member of the Republican Party, but all through this campaign, they laughed at themselves. I mean, Donald Trump went to McDonald's, and he put an apron on, and he gave out fries. And I thought it was the most brilliant retail politics I've ever seen in my life. What happened to the left? They're not funny anymore.
Well, keep in mind that Trump is the ultimate showman. He's a professional, number one. But number two, I'm hearing that these vests are selling out for Halloween here in the country. So there's a movement going on here. Now, that said, they take themselves too seriously. They are humorless. We're seeing that they want it. Again, it gets back to destroying all of our values. It has brought on mass confusion in the American psyche, and we're seeing and I was just in Russia, and it was to me a difference between night and day in terms of the way people view things. The American people outside the Beltway here are common, decent, everyday, law-abiding citizens. But when I was overseas. It was something where you could see people honoring traditions, respect for other views. We don't have that here. We see the wokies absolutely trouncing on you for having a viewpoint other than their own, and they will then seek to go out and destroy you. How can you have humor in that? Where's the joy? And even though Kamala preaches joy, she doesn't show it.
Well, all you guys get ahead of me here, because I was just going to say, I'll go to Steve right now. I mean, in the summer, it was supposed to be joy. The Democrats were joyful. Liberals were joyful. But I only see the Republicans having a good time in this election, okay? I mean, if it isn't, they're eating the cats and dogs and Arnold Palmer and you know, I mean, it goes one right after another, okay? I mean, humor, we go to humor because when you confront absurdity, you can only laugh at it. That's the problem. We're laughing at absurdity. Steve.
Well, I'll quote the old Casey at the Bat poem. There is no joy in Kamalaville. Mighty Kamala has struck out. She has no sense of humor. I'm going to also, you know, give applause to the Trump team. They are quick. I mean, you have the garbage comment, and within 24, 48 hours, he's in a garbage truck wearing the garbage vest. And again, they move quick. I always like to look in the last days or weeks of a campaign, which candidate has the swagger? Which candidate looks confident? Trump has had that the last few weeks. The humor that you bring out, that they're able to take an attack and twist it and make fun of the other side. Man, he is the greatest political troller in history, and we saw that, like you said, with the McDonald's situation with the garbage truck. My question, with my legal hat on, if I go to vote today on or next week on Election Day or in final days of early voting, if I wear a Harris T-shirt or a Trump T-shirt or political stickers, I'm not allowed to do that. You know, the MAGA hat has become so connected to Trump. It's now political speech. But if I go in with a garbage bag on my body or in one of these vests, does that count as political speech?
It does now.
I got a strong feeling I'm going to see a lot of stuff on Twitter like that. Go ahead, Angie. Jump in.
No, absolutely. absolutely. We're already seeing it, Steve. I mean, I'm ready to jump in my garbage bag later on today. I know it's not a great look. I'm going to try to smarten it up with like a nice belt. But the reality is it's people are into it. This is pop culture politics, and Trump rules the world. I was just with Trump the other day at Mar-a-Lago, I think it was just 2 days ago, and he had Gold Star families there. He had small business owners there, and it was a very sober Trump. So he could go high, he could go low, he could go right through and go to McDonald's. I mean, this man is just like, he's at every lunch table, eating at every lunch table, and he's going to be eating this election come next Tuesday when he wins it. And that is going to be more frightening to come Harris. There's going to be less joy. But the funny thing is, I think Joe Biden had a big hand in this. I think he knows exactly what he's doing.
I do too.
And unfortunately, it looks like he might be tanking Kamala Harris, which is the funniest thing of all.
By the way, I'm not a good fashion person, but my recommendation, if you're wearing your garbage bags, you know, you got the white garbage bags, the black ones are more slimming. So a big guy like me, I'm going with the black garbage bag. Rather than white. Plus, you don't wear white after Labor Day anyway.
Okay. All right. We got 1 minute. I'm going to go to Michael. And Michael, did Biden throw Kamala Harris under the bus? Because I agree with Angie.
Yeah, I think it was a very implicit revenge effort on his part. He has she has always sought to undermine him. And I think he can hold a grudge. There's no question Biden can hold a grudge. And this is Biden's revenge in a very subtle way. And he's done it on a number of occasions in which she's had to not respond. And this is only the latest
I was told once by an elderly man, he said, a grudge is an old man's best profession. And I think that that's probably very true. Joe Biden is, you know, his presidency will only be remembered for failure. And it's his own fault because he chose Kamala Harris. All right, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on the American presidential election. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing the U.S. presidential election. Okay, let's go to Steve in Nashville. You know, Steve, I think it's reasonable to assume, all things being equal and considering the irregularities, and I say that with some sarcasm, from 2020, that Trump is at least on his way to an Electoral College victory. However, most of my concern is what happens after the election. So, you know, we're a few days out. Are we going to get an outcome in a timely fashion? I can remember it used to be called Election Day. That seems to have passed into history. What do you think is going to happen on Election Day evening the next morning?
I am hopeful that Trump, and again, when you look at some of the polling and the trend lines, polling is just a snapshot of what it is today. It doesn't capture kind of the movement, but the movement seems to be in Trump's direction in these battleground states. I'm hopeful that he'll win Florida and Georgia and North Carolina and Pennsylvania so that we have an early night of it and don't have to wait on some of these states that are saying, oh, it could take a week, it could take 2 weeks to get our numbers in. We're getting people sending ballots in with no connection to our states from overseas. I'm hopeful that we avoid some of the chaos by having an early night of it and Trump wins at least the electoral vote pretty early. I'm not sure that happens, but that would be the best result in terms of, I think, this election integrity. We're seeing blatant attempts to steal. We're seeing incompetence by these election folks. And as you point out, you know, in Europe, in most of the country, they have results the night of the election. You know, if they're using paper ballots, I've, you know, observed elections in Russia a couple of times where you put your paper ballot in a transparent box and they get it done in a single day. They have video cameras in every polling station so people can see the vote as it's taking place and the count as it's taking place. And we are not doing that in the United States, and it's an absolute travesty.
Well, it's done intentionally, obviously, okay? I mean, if Venezuela can do it in a day, or Moldova or Georgia can do it in a day, I should expect individual American states should be able to do it. Angie, essentially the same question to you. What do you think election night, early morning next Wednesday, is going to look like?
Well, I think, you know, Trump is clearly there to win, and all the numbers are going in his favor. Here in Miami, we flipped it from a blue county, and now we are Republican plus 5. So that is a 17-point jump from 2020. So it went from blue Miami to a red wave Miami, and we're seeing this across the United States. We're seeing it in blue cities as well. So I think, to answer your question, in regards to what will happen, well, it looks like Trump is clearly he's on the path to victory. He's going to be winning on Tuesday evening as the polls come in. But whether or not he's going to be able to take office on January 20th, that's a whole other constitutional crisis. Because remember, we still have the November 28th sentencing for his Manhattan DA trial. And if it's going to go in the same pathway as the Trump Organization CFO, where he receives multiple years in a prison, well, Trump's got over 30 counts to be sentenced for. We don't know what happens then and whether or not SCOTUS, our Supreme Court, will step in to stop this.
Michael, you guys are always two questions ahead of me. It's amazing on this program. Angie brings up a good point. I've been saying for a while now, Trump could win, but will he be inaugurated? Angie brought up his the lawfare against him. What is that going to do to the country?
Well, I think we're going to see the most dangerous time between election and inauguration. I think that's going to be very critical, not only domestically, but internationally. And I say internationally because of Israel, particularly. But back to the domestic side, he's got people who really do not want him in office. He's already had two assassination attempts already. This is very critical. And he's going to have to, but I think he's going to plod right on. Now, the question is, by how much is he going to actually win? I know George Galloway, our friend, thinks it's going to be a clean sweep. I think it's going to be much closer than that. And in fact, I'm assuming that there's going to be a lot of rigging. But the Republicans this time around, as opposed to 2020, have lawyers out there ready to pounce legally in the courts to challenge ballots and what have you. They're much more geared up to meet what they expect to be a fix. And also, you know, you have that rigging of machines. We got to be very mindful of that. Their connections to the net, and what's interesting is that the software being employed in those machines is something that was that Obama allowed to happen from CIA days. It was technology that we hear is being applied to these machines, and that this is something very, very serious, and it needs to be watched very, very closely to ensure that the ballots are not switched electronically in the middle of the night. So I think the most we really have to watch out for whether we see a massive turnaround as we did in 2020, all of a sudden in these states Trump was ahead, and all of a sudden there's this dramatic switch that people cannot understand. And this is something I think we have to be very, very watchful.
It's really shameful. It's really shameful that it really wasn't thoroughly investigated. And I think that was a huge, even I can remember telling, just prove me wrong. Just take every single allegation. Let's sit down. We got a few months. Let's go through every single one of them and prove that we're all wrong. They refused to do that. That was a huge, huge mistake. Okay,
but you got to consider this: that in Pennsylvania, in particular, in 2020, you had a Democrat court and a Democrat legislature. Of course, they wanted the Democrat to win. So they right there, the fix was in, and they went contrary to federal law that state legislatures will make election changes, but instead it was done by individuals and a court, contrary to the U.S. Constitution.
Michael's exactly right.
Go ahead, Steve.
The Republicans are ahead of the game. They're filing lawsuits now. They're not waiting until after the election. I think there were about 60 election challenges. 59 of them were dismissed by courts because they were, quote, There wasn't a proper plaintiff. It was too late. This time they're filing cases. Now the Supreme Court, I think, just signaled with a 9-3 decision dealing with the Virginia illegal alien vote and removing those from the ballot, that they're willing to step in a quick way. I think that's a good sign. I think the Republicans are ahead of the game this time by starting now to challenge these things because, Michael mentioned Pennsylvania. You know, the executive branch, the governor, changed the rules for mail-in ballots. Subsequently, the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania ruled that it was unconstitutionally done, but they didn't redo the election. So they were able to steal that state because it wasn't adjudicated until long after. I agree also with Michael. The most dangerous time, you know, if Trump wins, as I think he will, the most dangerous time is between Election Day and January 20th. James Carville is calling for a armed insurrection in response to a Trump election. They are calling for blood in the streets, and people need to be prepared. They've rioted and burned and looted in the past when they saw Trump get elected. It will be a dangerous time here in the West.
You know, Angie, I'm sure none of us miss Antifa, but what do you bet they come on the scene starting Wednesday morning? Angie.
Oh, they're ready. No, they're ready starting now. I mean, you're already seeing Antifa dressed up as poll workers. You're seeing them outside the lines turning people away in Pennsylvania. They're saying, well, you know, it's already 4:55. We're going home, so you're not voting today. There are things like that already happening. And that is the sad part. It's everywhere. It's gone underground. It's not as visible. It's not going to be on social media. But you better believe, come Tuesday night, you better be well prepared for you and your family just to make sure that you have enough supplies and things to get along, because things are going to get bad. And it's not going to be an easy transition whatsoever. We're going to have to fight for him to even get into the White House and put his hand on the Bible on January 20th.
You know, Michael, I saw some reporting on CNN, and of course, I only watch it for work purposes, not for enjoyment, obviously. But some of the reporting...
Nice disclaimer.
That's my disclaimer. But some of the reporting I saw was extremely disturbing. Is that, you know, we have to protect the poll workers. So they have all these cement walls and barbed wire, and, you know, they're talking about assaults and things. But what they're doing is they're preparing the public for violence, as if they're predicting it, as if they may want it. It's very disturbing. Again, the media is the greatest poison in this election. It's extraordinary to me. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I think they're trying to build that anticipation to set a mindset in the people to be prepared for that violence, as Carville had enunciated. All I got to say is, indeed, keep your ammunition dry and your guns well oiled, because we're hearing whoever wins, doesn't matter, there may be violence in the streets, and it's a scary proposition, and elections. That just shows the polarization that we have going on in this country due to our different value systems. And it all gets down to what do we really believe in and stand for as a country. And it means that we really are in no position any longer to dictate to other countries and other peoples how they should conduct themselves. And we continually do. We're seeing it now in Georgia, the country of Georgia. Why do we do that? And we can't even control our own internal affairs. I mean, it's bizarre, and we just got to rein that in.
Yeah, Steve. I got 1 minute left. I'm going to go to Steve here. Steve, it doesn't bode well when half the population is considered garbage,
or Nazis. Again, as some of those who even survived the Holocaust, Hitler killed 6 million people. Millions more died on both sides of that conflict. To evoke Hitler in this day and age, when Donald Trump has been in office as president for 4 years, none of the stuff they keep claiming, you know, internment camps and Hitler and putting the military on attack on civilians, that's what they do. Prosecuting their political enemies, that's what they do. I think, sadly, and maybe it's a time for another show, we may be closer to an actual civil war in this country any time than in the last 150 years.
I would argue that the civil war has already started, but it's in everyone's head right now. Let's hope it doesn't go any further. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Reston, Nashville, and in Miami. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. And remember, Crosstalk Rules.